he decided what role he wanted you to play on earth. He planned exactly how he wanted you to serve him, and then he shaped you for the tasks. You are the way you are because you were made for a specific ministry. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verses 9 to 3, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for him to do. And to illustrate this from my experience, I just want to tell you a little story about what happened to me over the summer. I was up at my mum and dad's house just looking through some old photos, and I came across the card. I don't know whether you remember these, the card that they used to put in your cot when you were born. So mine was pink and it had my mum's name at the top and my birth date, weight and all that stuff. With that, I found a blue card belonging to my brother, who was 3 years older than me. And then what caught me out a bit was another pink card amongst my brothers and mine, which belonged to my sister. Now, I knew I had a sister, but I didn't really know anything about her because she died when she was 3 months old. And it was really weird because I saw this card and I looked at the dates on it, and I discovered that I'd been born 9 months and 2 weeks after she died. So you can do the maths and kind of figure out that was kind of close. So I then went on a bit of a journey as to my thoughts on this, and I realized that I really needed to hear from the Lord why he created me. You know, what was I about? Because deep down, I just kind of felt like a bit of a substitute for my sister, because I knew that my mum and dad only wanted two children, and I wouldn't have been born if she'd lived. So as Alison and I prayed on the last evening at Ashburnham, the Lord did something really significant for me. He showed me what I guess you would call a vision of what I was here for and how he had always, always had a plan for my life. You can imagine I was totally undone, sobbing my eyes out. As the Lord revealed how all these Bible verses actually applied to me, they were relevant to me. Verses such as Psalm 139, which says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So why am I telling you this? I strongly feel the Lord wants to remind you that you are here for a purpose. And the thing that underpins our purpose as followers of Jesus is the fact that we are here to do his works, not ours. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. God deliberately shaped you and formed you to serve him in a way that makes your life unique. He carefully mixed the DNA cocktail that created you. Not only did God shape you before your birth, he planned every day of your life to support his shaping process. And this means that God uses all the stuff that has happened in your life, the good, the bad, all of it, to shape you for service to him. He just doesn't waste anything. He wouldn't give you abilities, talents, gifts, personality, life experiences, unless he intended to use them for his glory. So what are his works? If we're created to do God's works, what does it look like? And what are they? It might be caring for an elderly relative. It might be lifting boxes on a Sunday morning to set up for weekly worship. It might be playing with the children at Belly Buttons. It might be working to change the culture in your company. There's a whole variety of things. And some of the works that God calls you to do, they will fit you brilliantly. They will fit with your temperament, your talents, your spiritual gifts. Brilliant. But it might not always feel like that. There may be other times when doing God's work may feel entirely contrary to your desires. So how do we go about doing his works? Well, Jesus showed us exactly how to do this. In John chapter 13, just before Jesus was taken to be crucified, we read of this interaction between Jesus and his good friend Peter. So Jesus got up from the meal. he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. The whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." I find it interesting that humility was despised in the ancient world, and it was actually considered a sign of weakness. But Jesus turned that on its head by regarding this service to others as an honourable act. He's not saying to literally go out and wash people's feet, but he's teaching us to serve people without expecting others to serve us. Jesus was the King of Kings, but he took the nature of the lowest servant. When I look beyond Jesus to other characters in the New Testament, I can really tell that they understand this whole thing of being a servant and of doing his works and not their own. Let's take a look at some of them and how they describe themselves. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And here's my favourite, if I can actually pronounce it properly. Epaphras. Anybody heard of Epaphras? I had never heard of him before. But I love what Paul says about him in Colossians 4 verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings." It's like he's saying, Epaphras, as he's serving food, says hi. Or to put a modern day equivalent of that on that, I can imagine me writing an email to some other friends in other vineyards across the country, telling them what's going on in Leeds. So Erica, who's singing songs about Jesus with the children, sends a big hello. Or Hazel, just making coffee at weekly worship, says hi. Or a big shout out from all the T for 12 team serving at DTI. Epaphras, who is one of you and a follower and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. Serving brings us together as followers of Jesus. We know what it's like because we all do it. And best of all, the King loves it. When doing his works actually gets tough. So, honestly, sometimes serving can feel unnoticed and unappreciated. I'm sure all of us have felt like that from time to time. I certainly have. But I think that's because our understanding of serving and of doing God's works, it can kind of get a bit mixed up. Serving is not about us. It's not about me. It's not a business deal with God. It's not a case of, if we give God some of our time to serve, then he'll make sure we get blessed. So Jesus addressed this train of thought directly in Luke chapter 17, verse 7. I think it's up on the screen. He said, "Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now, sit down to eat. Won't you rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. So what's Jesus getting at in this parable? I believe he's saying that we can never approach God and say, you owe me because of what I've done for you. Or, if I do that for you, God, then you need to do this for me. It kind of comes against any thinking of, because I get up early on a Sunday morning to play in the band, I want you to bless my children. Or, because I lead a house group, God, I want you to bless my marriage. Or, if I go out on the streets to serve coffee to the big issue sellers, God, come and sort out my finances. It doesn't work that way. He would rather us say, Lord, you owe me nothing. And every good thing in my life is only the result of your grace. I'm going to say that again. Lord, you owe me nothing. And every good thing in my life is only the result of your grace. The things we do may go unnoticed by people. It might feel like you're unappreciated, that nobody sees all the things you do, but I assure you that God sees it, and it gives him joy. The Bible says in Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. I love the idea of secretly blessing people. Have you ever done that? I think we should do that in house groups. I think it's good training for us. It's the thing of doing something for somebody that you cannot possibly be thanked for. Or even something where you can't even see the person's reaction. I think that's a good idea. It's not my idea. It's a good one, though. There's much joy to be had from serving, but it's not all blessing. It does cost. It did for Jesus, and it does for us. Because we get tired. It's okay to be tired. In fact, it's biblical to be tired. Just read Isaiah 43:22 or Galatians 6:9 that says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. That's Galatians 6:9. So I'm just going to pause for a minute for you just to examine your own hearts and minds. And if any of that resonates with you, the bargaining with God, the feelings of no one noticing what you do, maybe the resentment that serving interferes with your life and your plans. If any of that resonates with you, I just right now encourage you to say sorry to God. It's subtle, because we find ourselves thinking and saying these things without realizing we're doing it. And I just feel like the Lord is calling us to repent. Maybe it's in preparation for Headingley. He just wants our minds and our hearts clean on this, a bit like the disciples' feet. So I'm going to pause while we just do business with God for a minute. So, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us if we fall into the trap of bargaining for your blessing on our lives. Forgive us for looking to be noticed for what we do. Forgive us for the resentment we may feel Forgive us and sustain us and make our hearts clean. My next point. His works are for everyone. I was talking to my gran over the summer. She's 90 next year, and she's a real woman of God, and I totally adore her. And the minister of her Methodist church had come down to see me a few weeks earlier, and she was asking how it went, because he was a really busy man. And it was a real honour that he'd come down to see me. And I was commenting to her how actually we do really similar things, me and her minister. You know, we pray for people, we try and bless the community, all that sort of thing. And then without a trace of malice, she said to me, "No, but Tim's a proper minister, Katie." She still calls me Katie. And I just thought that was so funny because some of us hold ministers, leaders, pastors, whatever, in like this high esteem thing, when actually a minister means one who serves. We are all called to serve, so we're all ministers. We're all called into the ministry, if you remember that term. So if his works are for everyone, and we're all created to do this, how do we respond? Every new year, Ben and I ask the Lord how he wants us to serve for the coming season, for the coming year. And often it's the same as before. Sometimes it's got a different slant on it. But as we approach Headingley in a couple of weeks' time, it's similar. We're entering a new season, and we want to be hitting the ground running, ready to do his works, knowing that what we are doing is what he's asked of us. One thing that's helped us along the way is the saying that we have in the vineyard of old orders are good orders. Who's heard that before? Old orders are good orders. It used to really irritate me that now and again, but it's so true. Old orders are good orders. So that means if God hasn't told you to do something different, I'd encourage you to stay with it until he says otherwise. Old orders are good orders. For those of you who aren't serving yet, here's a few suggestions of what you might do. I think they're on the screen behind me. Firstly, ask God to show you. Ask him to reveal to you the bigger picture in your life and what he created you to do for him. Number two, listen to your leaders. Ask your house group leader what they see in you. Talk it over with them to explore where you might want to serve in the church or the local community. Write down some words that articulate who you are, what you love to do, what things give you life, what you love to do. Then go do them. And lastly, number four, just get stuck in. Have a chat with me afterwards. I can point you in the right direction of the people that sort of fit with what you love to do. So to conclude, repeatedly the Bible says to serve the Lord your God with all your heart. God wants to serve you to serve him passionately, doing it the way that Jesus modeled to the disciples as he washed their feet. There's a bigger picture to serving. It's about changing us to be more like Jesus, to do his works, not ours, to have his attitude and character by serving others. And the best thing of all is that by doing so, we just advance his kingdom. That's me done. Do you want to stand and we'll just see what the Lord wants to do? Why don't you stand? I think we've got 3 minutes left. So I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and if he wants to do something, he can do something. If he wants us to go and get a coffee, we can get a coffee. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. We pray right now that you would come more. Just come. We invite you. Come, Holy Spirit.